Official statements on the use of open power morselation have been issued fast and furious in recent months. It began in December 2013 when the Society of Gynecologic Oncology issued a position statement that asserted that open power morselation is generally contraindicated in the presence of documented or highly suspected malignancy and may be inadvisable in premalignant conditions or risk-reducing surgery. In February 2014, Temple University Hospital in Philadelphia banned the procedure outright. It was followed by Massachusetts General Hospital and Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston 2 months later. Then came an FDA warning discouraging use of the procedure and the suspension by Johnson & Johnson of all laparoscopic power morselator sales. That was followed by a statement from AAGL, another from ACOG, and a third from AUGS, with the professional societies in agreement that a minimally invasive approach to hysterectomy and myomectomy remains the best option for women. Amid the furor, how are gynecologic surgeons adapting? We asked a sampling of surgeons at the 2014 ACOG annual clinical meeting in Chicago this question. In this OBG management audiocast, they share their views and tell how they are adapting to the rapidly changing landscape. Dr. Rich Persino, who operates at Syntegra Hospital in McHenry, Illinois, said the concerns about open power morselation have prompted him to rethink its use in his own practice.
Our institution has not banned morselation at this time, but the physicians on staff are seriously considering, at minimum, restricting it. My partner and myself will probably not do morselation until there's a bag device available.
Dr. Jennifer Hollings, who practices at St. Mary's Hospital in Richmond, Virginia, described a similar situation at her institution.
Currently, there's not a ban. It was released, and they're just making people hypervigilant and aware. But there's been no ban on using the morselator at this point. There has been an increased advisory for patient counseling and for reviewing the patient charts and going through all of those things. But as of when I left, there was no ban.
Dr. Ruben Baxi, a fourth-year resident at William Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak, Michigan, reports that many minimally invasive surgeons there are shying away from open power morselation.
I think our institution has taken a stand against morselation, unless a physician really insists that this is a safe approach for their patient. If the patient has been very well counseled, then we go ahead and we do that. But I think since all this happened, we've had one morselation that's taken place, that too with proper patient counseling and with patient elected. But I think majority of us are now not doing that.
Dr. Michael Bagish, who operates at St. Helena Hospital in St. Helena, California, has never been a proponent of open power morselation.
I never really was enamored of the morselator to begin with. I says it's like using a garbage disposal within the belly.
Nor does he plan to use morselation in the future.
Never. I'd rather enlarge an incision and pull the specimen out, or take it out vaginally, or put it in a bag and take it out.
For docs who plan to continue using power morselation, Dr. Bagish recommends thorough counseling of the patient.
I think if you're going to use a morselator, you should tell every patient what the risks are of the device, even though they may be relatively remote. I think they deserve to know.
Dr. Gwinnett Ladson of Meharry Medical College in Nashville, Tennessee, says morselation is not widely used at her institution.
The majority of the gynecologists, we don't use the power morselator. We do the laparoscopic hysterectomies, but we do the vaginal delivery.
And now that use of power morselation has been discouraged, Dr. Ladson plans to use
a total laparoscopic hysterectomy or a mini laparotomy. Or abdominal hysterectomy, depends on what's the size of the uterus.
Chicago OBGYN Dr. Teresa Tam has a four-part plan in place for hysterectomy or myomectomy involving large fibroids or a large uterus.
I think it always starts with proper patient selection. And then after that, you really have to, good patient counseling is imperative, making sure that the patient does realize that this is a risk when you have to morcellate a large uteri, a large fibroid, or leiomyoma. And so that is now part of my consent forms about the risk for dissemination of cancer or leiomyosarcoma. And then I always have done MRI before I do any, I tackle any surgery on a large myoma or a large uterus prior to morcellation. So now I do it more so with every case, which I've always done before. Now I have a reason to do so. And then I also make sure that if I can, if it's small enough that could fit in the endo bag, I then morcellate in the bag. It is very cumbersome often, but I think, again, just like with any learned technique, it does take time to learn it. So those are the four things I try and do.
Whatever the FDA decides to do about open power morcellation, times clearly are changing fast. The FDA warning discouraging use of the technology certainly has had a chilling effect in the specialty. As another Chicago OBGYN, Dr. Yvonne Wolny, puts it,
this may change the culture of the whole minimally invasive surgery here in the United States.